Now, Brother Marty Yasko will speak to us on the theme, Keep Sowing to the Spirit, Use Bible Principles to Guide Your Life. Brother Yasko.
Better understand what a Bible principle is, it's probably better to ask first, who's the source of Bible principles? Well, I encourage you to take your Bibles out as we perhaps reason on this in the 8th verse of the 32nd Psalm. So please turn to Psalm 32, we're going to read verse 8. Who's the source of Bible principles? Notice it says here, I, that is Jehovah, will give you insight and instruct you in the way you should go. I will give you advice with my eye upon you. So in this instance, what type of instruction did David get from Jehovah? Well, in this verse it says, you see the word there, insight. That's the ability to see beyond the surface appearance of matters, to see how the outcome might turn out. How is my decision going to affect others? How can I act discreetly? But you also see in the latter part of that verse, he says, with my eye upon you. Well, David could expect guidance from Jehovah God that would be tailor-fit for him. So further, when we think of the source, again, who is the source? Well, it is Jehovah God who's giving us this wise instruction, principles to guide and direct us in our lives. He gives us laws. But you know what's interesting is laws don't always cover it. In other words, it may not be applicable for a particular time or situation, but principles, that's where it's at, because principles are timeless, fundamental truths that don't have a shelf life. They never expire. In fact, principles are the things that laws are based on. So can you see, if you understand a principle, then you probably be better at, well acquainted with a law and easier to come under that law. It just makes sense. But you know, back to that question, what's a Bible principle? Well, one dictionary defines the word principle as a general fundamental truth on which others are based or derived. Okay? Well, give me an example. Okay, so to a child, you might say, don't touch the stove. But to an adult, you might say, the stove is hot. Well, that opens up possibilities, doesn't it? Because I know with a hot stove, you can cook a fine meal. You can bake an apple pie. I could go on. You see, but with a stove, I could probably injure myself too. I could also turn it down. So you see, that's like a Bible principle. It governs what we do. It governs our actions. Principles are just superior. Don't get me wrong, laws, they're applicable in a Christian life. We always use them. But principles, that's where it's at. Why? Well, just think, if there was a law for everything, you know, imagine how many pages there would be. It'd be exhausting. But another way that principles are superior to laws, think about this. What does a law test in us? Well, it tests our obedience to Jehovah, doesn't it? But have you ever wondered what a Bible principle tests? Well, a Bible principle tests the depth of our desire, the depth of our desire to please Jehovah God. That's what they do. So once we apply these Bible principles in our lives, we can become protected by them. We're protected physically, mentally, emotionally. For example, this is the second time we mentioned at this assembly, but adhering to God's law on drunkenness. We're protected, for sure. Diseases, accidents, things like that. But again, think about what is the principles that are behind the laws. Well, we can think of the one in Proverbs 3:20. Again, it was read. Don't be among those who drink too much wine. So there's a principle. But we know that Jehovah allows us to drink in moderation, alcohol, that is. But then we also bring in another principle, say from 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, that drunkards, revelers, ones like that will not inherit the kingdom. So you see, when we gather all these principles together, we begin to reason on them, we're protected. But you might realize that this just doesn't happen automatically. No, it doesn't. You see, learning and applying Bible principles can be likened to learning a new language. That's where you learn the grammar of it, the actual makeup of it, the structure of it. And when you finally learn a language and you hear somebody talking and something is just not quite right, you might not be able to put your finger on it, but you know it just doesn't sound quite right. Well, you know, it's the same with principles. When we're trying to apply them, we can see that certain decisions may, you know, there's something not right with that decision. It's out of harmony with Jehovah God's principles or his word. So that's why it's like learning a language. So friends, for the balance of this part, let's work together to see how we better might apply Bible principles in our lives. So what do you think's involved? Well, God's word again can answer that for us in Hebrews chapter 5 and 14. So I encourage you to turn there, Hebrews 5 and 14. What's involved in this quest for Bible principles and applying them? Well, in verse 14 there, it says, "But solid food belongs to mature people, to those through use have their powers of discernment trained to distinguish both right and wrong." So from the context of this verse, we see that obviously we're going to have to be zealous students of God's word to dig, right? We also see that phrase there, perceptive powers trained through use. Well, we're all pretty much aware that, you know, the more you use a muscle, the better it performs, isn't it? Well, it's the same with Bible principles, with our discernment. It can be trained like a muscle. But the truth is, we can't always expect a Bible principle we just found in one verse. Quite often, it's more than one, it's several verses. This is where we also need understanding. Proverbs 1:5 says, "The man of understanding is one who acquires knowledge, acquires skillful direction." So it's work. But you know, it's this understanding of individual that begins to see the different facets of a situation, puts them together, see how they all relate to each other. And that's called discernment. That's insight, friends. You might liken it to the process of building a jigsaw puzzle. You ever do that? You can see how this piece will fit with that one, and then eventually you get to see how they all fit together to form what? Well, the big picture. That's much like learning how to use principles in our lives. So in this way, we get to perceive the grammar, the structure of Bible principles. In other words, what God's intent was and how we can accomplish that. Can you think of another way we can better apply Bible principles in our lives? Well, what about something just as basic as setting aside time? To set aside time for basic Bible study, in-depth Bible study. Now, why is time so valuable? Perhaps even more so than money. Well, have you ever found money on the street? For sure. I'm sure we all have. But you know, I just can't seem to find the time. It's just, time is so important. You see, we use our perceptive powers to reason on things, to meditate, to study, and that all takes time. That's why it's so important. So we certainly can see why we wouldn't want to allow distractions such as television watching, hobbies, things that really don't have a lot of mental exertion to get in the way of this in-depth Bible study that's going to help us to understand principles and apply them in our lives. Now, in addition to regular study program, it's important for us to set aside time, here again, for family worship, for digging into God's Word, an in-depth study of different Bible subjects. So ultimately, when we're facing a decision, a dilemma, a trial, we are determined to make it a habit to hit the books, as it were, to look into the Christian publications. Friends, that's what it means to keep sowing to the Spirit. Yet another way in which we might cultivate our power of reason in applying Bible principles is really try hard to get Jehovah God's mindset on a matter. Really try hard to bring it into our heart. So here we go. We know in God's Word, it describes him in a certain way. Jehovah reveals his personality to us, his standards. And in the 15th Psalm, we read of the type of individual that he would invite to be a guest in his tent. It would be an individual that practices righteousness, he speaks the truth, he's faithful to his promises, he doesn't take unfair advantage of others. We get the picture. Okay, so let's say the 15th Psalm was my daily Bible reading that day. How would I read it? If I really wanted to get the gist of the scripture, to understand it, how would I read it? Would I read it? Yep, check, got it, check. No. We'd slow it down, wouldn't we? We'd think reflecting on it meaningfully, perhaps asking, do these qualities describe me? Or here's a good one, would my peers describe me that way? Would Jehovah really invite me to be in his tent? For sure, this takes more time. But if we do it this way, reflect and meditate, then our perceptive powers are being fortified. We're now going to think like our Creator, Jehovah God. It just becomes easier to do that. Friends, it's in this very respect that the Pharisees failed miserably. Oh, they knew the technical framework. They could recite the myriads of laws, eh? But they failed to perceive the person behind the law. They didn't grasp the grammar of it. And you know, that was really brought to the fore in the example when do you remember Jesus' disciples? They plucked that grain and they rubbed it and then they ate it. And the Pharisees, oh, sin! You know, you're working on the Sabbath. Yet that same day, these very men, the same day, a few hours later, they're plotting to murder Jesus? How could it go so terribly wrong? They didn't get the principles. They couldn't grasp the grammar of the law. A few more additional ways we can really try to apply Bible principles in our lives is, here's one, contemplate the wisdom. What will happen if I apply this principle? And then what will happen if I ignore it? What's the consequences? Run that up the pole. Run it through in your mind. What's going to happen? Here's another one. Second thing. Pray to Jehovah God for his Holy Spirit to direct your decisions in your life. And another one. Look to other examples, perhaps ones in the Bible, who have made wise decisions, who have understood principles. You know, a very fine example, a man that knew Bible principles, King David. David really understood God's law on life, blood, how important it was. And is one occasion there, he even refrained from doing what even resembled a violation of that law. Now, you recall the account was in 2 Samuel 23:13-17. Now, David, he's so thirsty. He's in the middle of nowhere, no water around. He is thirsty. So go get some water. Well, the nearest water was in Bethlehem. Couldn't do it. Why? Because the Philistines had an outpost there. Couldn't get water from there. So you know, three of David's men, they want to be the heroes, right? So what do? You know, men, eh? They want to be the heroes, so they go get this water. They force their way into the camp. They risk their lives to get what? Water for David. So how did David feel about this? Well, in that account, in verse 17, David says, should I drink the blood of the men who risked their lives? That was tantamount to actually spilling human blood. So what did David do? He pours it out, like a sacrifice should be. It says he pours it out to Jehovah. David understood Bible principles. He understood the grammar of the law. We too can cultivate such an attitude toward all of God's commands. Indeed, Bible principles help us to make wise decisions, especially in areas where maybe perhaps a greater use of our conscience is needed. In areas maybe like recreation, social gatherings, dress and grooming, or perhaps use of alcohol. So friends, as you watch the following demonstration, try to discern the Bible principles that our brothers use when deciding whether to attend a social gathering.
Hey, Rock, how was your week? I'm tired, Julian. What a busy week. Yeah, I know what you mean. Do you have any plans for the weekend? Should be the usual weekend, some service, the meeting, maybe relax a little. Oh, by the way, did you get invited to that dance Devin's putting on?
Oh, yeah, you know, I was just going to ask you about it. Yeah, I got the invite right here. Are you going?
Well, I did hear a lot of our old friends are going to be there. And I guess it would be nice to meet some new friends, too, so, yeah, it sounds good.
Let's see. Come enjoy good food, drink, and dancing with friends. Well, it doesn't say anything about an entrance fee.
Yeah, that's good. Does it say anything about the type of food or drink being served?
No, it doesn't. Why do you ask?
Well, is there going to be any alcohol there?
Oh, come on. Don't tell me you're bothered by a little alcohol.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it would be good to know.
Hey, after all, wine makes the heart rejoice.
Yeah, but there's a difference between making the heart rejoice and not thinking straight. I mean, even if we don't overdrink, would it be wise to attend a party where others do?
Yeah, I see your point, I guess. After all, it would be nice to know what the atmosphere will be like there.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
You know, I remember one time I actually had to leave a dance. The lights were really dim, the music was too loud, you couldn't even hear the person talking next to you. In fact, some people there said they felt like they were at a nightclub.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, and we don't even know what type of music there's going to be, or what type of dancing there's going to be. You know, as much as I would really like to attend this party, I think we should find out the answers to some of these questions first. I don't think Devin would throw a wild party, but I don't want to even come close to stumbling anyone.
That's good thinking. How about this? I'll give Devin a call and find out some more information, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks, Julian. I'll wait to hear from you,
for sure.
So what guided our brothers? What principles guided our brothers? Well, perhaps the one at 1 Timothy 3:8. Servants, not indulging in a lot of wine. Okay, but are we good with that? Do we feel well-rounded, well-protected with just the one principle? Well, let's just add a few more, okay? So Titus 2:7 says, an example of fine works in every way. Okay. How about the principle in Galatians 5:21? Drunkenness, wild parties, things like these. Paul says he's forewarning these, that those who practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom. That phrase, things like these, it causes us to think, okay, well, what could be like this in that list? What other things might be likened to this? Now we're working. Can you hear that voice behind you now? Jehovah's telling us the way in which we should walk. Let's add yet another principle. How about the one in 2 Corinthians 6:3? In no way are we giving cause for stumbling. Don't want to stumble, ones. So, you know, back to that demonstration, our brother said, even if we don't overindulge, would it be smart to attend a party where others are overdrinking? What are they concerned about? The optics of it. How does it appear to others? And, you know, how is my presence going to affect the consciences of others? Now we're thinking. Now we're using Bible principles. There's a lot going on, you know. But now we feel like I can make a wise choice, even when it comes to something as simple as attending a social gathering. See, that's how you work it. So for sure, this takes time. This takes effort. But when we do it that way, right decisions can be made consistently. And those are the ones that have Jehovah's smile of approval on them. For sure, many benefits are to be had by making wise decisions based on Bible principles. Sure, we may prefer the convenience of a rule or a law, but Bible principles and applying them in our lives, living by them, will deepen our spirituality. They will help us to base our decisions on Jehovah God's thinking, the things we find in His Word, the Bible. This, in turn, it restores our strength. It causes our heart to rejoice, our eyes shine, we become better people. Moderate in habits, we take better care of our bodies. We view life as sacred. We can control negative emotions. We focus on the positive thoughts. We become more resilient. So friends, do not give up in doing what is fine. Do not tire out. Keep sowing to the Spirit by living with Bible principles, because above all, your efforts will please Jehovah, who deeply values your response to His loving guidance.